Danny Wallace. Radio
X. Well, hello and welcome to our Christmas podcast. I hope you're listening around Christmas. If you're not, this will get you into the Christmas spirit because we do lots of things involving Christmas, including Christmas dinner winners, don't we, Joseph?
We do, yeah. Imagine listening to Christmas dinner winners in June.
Oh, but it would get you ready for Christmas, wouldn't it? Perhaps it'll become a Christmas tradition to listen to this podcast very, very early. It's when you know Christmas is happening.
Yeah, it announces the arrival. No, I'm not going to open my presents yet. Exactly. I need to listen to the broadcast.
Well, exactly. Also, at the same time, I do... in my house, I've become the sound of Christmas. I'll tell you for why. Because I do the commentary on World's Strongest Man, the year's best Christmas TV.
Unquestionably.
Where you just get big men lifting things. Used to be in a car park, now there's a budget. Now it's in a stadium. And that's fun to do. So that's how I know when Christmas is happening, because I hear myself.
I'm still beaming from the solstice.
Oh, what a solstice it was.
Oh, what a solstice.
It was a Friday. It was the 21st. It was the shortest day. What a solstice.
It's almost over before it began.
Isn't it just?
My dad actually goes to me, I love the solstice. I love the winter solstice. And I was like, why? Why do you love the non-event that is the winter solstice?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, because it means the days are going to start getting shorter and summer's on the way.
No, longer. Like, the days are going to get longer.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Yes, that's what I mean. The days are going to get longer. I was like, but that's just literally what it is. So how can you like enjoy the solstice?
I guess you just pull up a deck chair and let it wash over you.
Just enjoy the day.
Yeah. So all these things happen and many, many more. There's a few surprises in there for you. I've done a lot of work, a lot of intense investigation into one subject in particular. I'm not sure whether to give it to you all in one go yet or whether to break it up into sections. I guess you'll just have to wait and see. Plus, a little Christmas playlet. But we begin, as always, with a clip chosen by Luca! Exclamation mark. A kitten from Tenerife. Radio X. Well, our 50th show, and it's our Christmas special.
What's so special about it?
Well, you've got to have a Christmas special at Christmas.
Well, you could already have one at Easter.
Steve, what gives? Why the tude? Where's your Christmas cheer?
My get up and go has got up and went.
Oh, Steve, I don't like hearing you talk like this.
How would you rather I talked?
Like a robot?
No, but Christmas is a time of year where you count your blessings.
Right, well, let me do that then. One. Right, what now?
Oh, Steve, wait. Is this because I saw Joe under the mistletoe and I gave him a quick kiss? Where is Joe?
He's with HR.
Guys, I'm right here.
That kiss didn't mean anything.
Meant something to me.
Hello? Am I invisible?
Steve, you know you're my little Christmas cracker. When Joe gets back from HR, I'll make sure he sees me give you a little peck on the cheek and he can just sit there eating his homemade sandwiches and not sharing them as usual, the Scrooge.
Yeah, what a Scrooge.
Wait, they can't hear me. What if I am a Scrooge? What if I'm the Joest of Christmas present?
Yeah, sandwich Scrooge, eh, Steve?
Perhaps this is a lesson to me, to see what others really think of me. Maybe I should share my sandwiches. Maybe I should stop being such a temptation to Danny. I must rethink my life.
Oh, I thought we'd never leave.
Yeah, what sandwiches has he brought?
Nut and pickle.
No, thanks.
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Happy Christmas to you, everybody. As you sit there in your Christmas pyjamas just a couple of days early, Steve's got his on, Joe's wearing a little singlet, and we are going to be celebrating Christmas Eve Eve here on your important broadcast.
Radio X.
Oh, a new Christmassy bed, Joe.
Hey, why not?
You didn't play this to me before.
Well,
we've got to get into the spirit, haven't we?
We have.
First of all, get into the music to you, Joe.
Get into the music to you.
Get into the music to you, Steve.
Get into the music, guys.
So here we are. You know, Christmas just a couple of days away. Mm. And it is that classic small talk thing where people say, they've been saying it for months now. I mentioned it last week. You all ready for Christmas? Are you? You arrived this morning with a giant backpack.
Yeah.
Like a budget Santa. Packed with gifts.
Yeah, packed with gifts, packed with stuff to have at home, like running stuff and clothes.
Like running stuff?
Yeah, I did a bit of jogging over the Christmas period.
Oh, who doesn't? Christmas is synonymous with jogging. Jogging the streets of Billericay.
Well, it's more of take the running stuff and then not actually go running.
Well, quite right. You got all your washing to take back to your mum.
Yeah, got all my washing, all my bins.
Exactly.
Throw them away for me.
Joe told me something remarkable, ladies and gents, about Steve. Something that I have not explored further, but which I immediately leapt into action with, didn't I, Joe?
Yeah, well, Steve made quite a claim.
Quite a claim. I've not heard it from his own mouth, so shall we just see? Everyone needs a party piece at Christmas, right? You're sitting around with the relatives. They're all talking about Brexit. You've got to interrupt that somehow. Mm. So your party piece is what, Steve?
I can tell the flavour of a crisp just by feeling it.
Mm. You can, just to recap, you can tell the flavour of a crisp just by feeling it.
Yep.
Why have you never mentioned this to me?
I don't know. It's only a thing I realised recently I could do. And we did it in the office and to great success.
Oh, really? So you've run this through almost like a pilot scheme before we bring it to air.
Well, I never do anything on air that I haven't already practised off air.
Absolutely not. No, you're reading all this off a script. Well, I sent Joe down to the corner shop to buy a selection of crisps. So we're going to do that a little bit later on. We're also going to have a Christmas special edition of Christmas Dinner Winners.
Oh, yeah.
And a Christmas Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So, guys, I've been doing a substantial amount of work.
Great.
Good. Like you punched your mic at the thought of doing work.
I was like, my body reacted, like jolted at the idea of it.
So Chris Rea, driving home for Christmas, right? Our best guess so far is that he was driving home all alone for Christmas via Montreal Airport on what he called the freeway, surrounded by tail lights, in order to take a flight to Heathrow before probably renting a car at Avis, and driving home to Middlesbrough. Somehow able to not concentrate on the road because he's doing a lot of staring at other drivers. Mm. Of course, you might think that's just because he's in like a traffic jam. But it's called driving home for Christmas, isn't it? It's not called sitting in a stationary vehicle at Christmas.
Well, driving is very much part of... traffic's part of driving, isn't it?
Isn't it just... Yeah, you've completely changed my mind. But the real problem is, it turns out, we were wrong, fundamentally, about the year of release.
Yes. Oh.
And therefore, our subsequent research into North American tour dates, based solely on the colloquialisms he was using, were rendered unnecessary and misdirected. Turns out Chris Rea released the song in 1988. So let's look at North American tour dates in the mid-80s, right?
Right, okay, obviously.
Wrong. Because he wrote the song in 1978.
Oh!
Now that's a decade before, and that changes absolutely everything that we had thought about Chris Rea.
Flips it on its head.
It does. So I spent 4 hours this week researching Chris Rea's 70s years extensively.
Wow.
If you're ready, we'll begin. Now, from this research, it turns out that in the Christmas of 1978, Chris Rea needed to get home from London's Abbey Road studios to Middlesbrough.
Oh,
so, pat on the back, guys. We were right about the destination. Now, according to several witness statements given at the time, his wife had come down to London to drive him home in her Austin Mini to save a bit of money because it was cheaper to drive than travel by train. Also, his record company was not willing to pay for the rail ticket. And his manager had just dumped him. And he was banned from driving. So these were very, very bleak days, meaning Chris was probably looking to Christmas kind of like as an escape, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So while stuck in heavy traffic and snow falling all around him, Chris started looking at all the other drivers who he says looked so miserable. So to sum up initially, two big surprises. Chris wasn't driving. He was legally banned from doing so, meaning he had ample opportunity to stare at other drivers. Surprise two, he wasn't alone. He was with his wife all along. You might be thinking, what's true about this song in the first place?
I'm flabbergasted.
Well, I'm going to flabber your gust even more in just a few moments.
This is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
I had a bit of an unusual week this week, Stephen, because for the last 11 years or so, I've been a columnist, a weekly columnist. I've not missed a week. Every single week for 11 and a bit years, and then the magazine came to an end just this week. And I mention this only because for years it's always been interesting to see what the advert is that they place opposite my piece, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you have shaving, people, some aftershave, maybe the odd car, a watch, something like that. You know, good sort of high-end stuff. Advertisers
classy.
Going, we want placement next to Wallace. The final column came out this week. And do you know what the ad was?
I don't know. I imagine maybe Mercedes or something fancy like that. Some high-end clothes.
It was Viagra.
Oh, right.
And that's how I went out. That was after 11 years. That's how I went out. Just my picture next to a giant advert for a male-based wonder drug.
Well, that's what I would have initially picked.
It is a hard life. I tell you what we'll do, though. We're going to get these crisps. Joe, you've gone off and bought these crisps. You've gone for McCoy's.
Yep, three different flavours.
Three.
Now, okay, hold on.
Three different flavours. This is good, because if Joe is half the producer I think he is, he'll have gone for two generic flavours and one specialist.
We'll have to see, won't we?
Because it'll add jeopardy.
Well, normally I can tell between two different flavours, so we've added a third element, making this more difficult now. Okay. I'm still confident,
yeah.
But it has made it more difficult.
Well, Houdini and people, they had to develop their craft, didn't they? And if this is your thing, this is what you're going to do one day post-broadcast.
Yeah, I'm just worried that after today's broadcast, if I smash this, which I will, then everyone, every time I see them, is just going to be asking me to fill their crisps.
Well, do you know what you should do? You should move from pub to pub in London this Christmas time for tips.
Like
just
a scam.
Going up and just like grabbing people's crisps and just rubbing them very slightly at pub tables and then saying, prawn cocktail, that'll be a pound.
Well, prawn cocktail is one of the easiest ones to spot.
Oh, it's very powdery, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to let you see them, we're not going to let you smell them, but you will be doing that very soon. Please don't turn off. We'll be doing that after this.
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Now, 1978 is interesting. That was the year the Transport Act came out, and it sought, amongst many other things, of course, to control off-street parking. If you can't park your car off-street, what happens?
Park it on the street.
It changed driving as we know it.
Well, yeah, you drive around more, honking your horn. There would have been thousands more cars on the streets in that very first confusing year, all just aimlessly moving around. Can you see what I'm saying? I'm saying red tail lights everywhere.
All around.
But Chris would have been just 25 when he wrote that song. Okay. Surely too young to be so sentimental. But it does mean he probably wasn't involved in a custody battle, and the locations involved preclude him from working on oil rigs, which was something we said quite early on. Let's quickly mention the car. Late 70s, the Minis, the radiator was mounted at the left side of the car. So this is all true. So the engine-mounted fan could be retained, right, but with reversed pitch so that it blew air into the natural low-pressure area under the front wing. This, of course, has saved vehicle length, but it had the disadvantage of feeding the radiator with air that had been heated by passing over the engine. So, what does that mean? Hot air filling the car. You're going to feel drowsy. Oh. You're going to feel claustrophobic. You're going to feel, dare I say, sentimental.
Oh.
Especially when we consider the weather, which we will do next.
Radio X.
X.
Danny Wallace.
We hope you're very, very well this morning. We hope whatever it is you're doing it well. Because that's important, isn't it, Joe?
Go well.
Go well. And if you're making claims, bold claims, claims about special gifts or abilities you have, we hope that the proof is sort of borne out. You know, we hope that you're not making these things up. Because right now, describe the scene, Joe.
So, there is Steve.
Steve.
He's got a piece of paper over his face, his eyes, so that he can't see.
Well, it's a crisp visor.
Yeah, the crisp visor.
I've made a crisp visor, and it's taped to the back of his hair.
Yeah.
And this is to limit his seeing capabilities.
Yes.
Because we're about to present him with three different types of crisp.
Yes.
Joe went down to the corner shop and bought a selection. Again, if he's a good producer, he'll have gone for two generic and one specialist flavour in order to truly test Steve's claim that he is able to tell the flavour of a crisp through touch alone.
Yeah, the crisp visor is making it quite difficult to broadcast.
That's your problem, Steve.
That's your problem, you know, this is it. So, look, is there anything we're looking out for here, Steve? Are there any qualifications you want to make?
Well, normally I would choose between two different types of crisps,
sure.
And you brought a third into them.
Yeah.
Am I going to be able to wash my hands in between crisp feels?
No.
because that would obviously, I'm going to get some crisp residue left over on my fingertips.
Sure.
And that is going to make it more difficult.
Of course. All the excuses coming out now.
Well, these aren't excuses. These are rules.
These are your, this is your claim. This is
offside isn't an football excuse.
Okay. So, Joe, why don't you present the first of the crisps? They're on bowls. Each bowl marked A, B, okay, or C, depending on the crisp. Your little fingers are out now.
Where's Joe?
Joe, present, please, the first crisp.
Okay. Where's your hand?
Well, this is crisp A.
Okay. Oh, now that's the specialist crisp. Definitely.
How?
So I'm either going to go... If they're McCoy's, then it's probably either that chickeny Chinese one or the steak one. I'm going to go for the chickeny one.
Okay, you're going chicken. I'm writing this down. But you're going specialist. Specialist McCoy.
Definitely specialist.
Okay, go on to crisp B, please. Joe, will you hand Steve crisp B?
Okay.
Joe now making his way around the desk, holding a saucer marked B. On it, another crisp. Here we go. He's gone for the touch.
That's plain.
Where are you getting this from?
It's just a different feel.
But what makes a plain crisp feel plain?
You can just tell, man. I don't know what to tell. I've eaten a lot of crisps in my time.
All right, you are joking.
He's going for B plain. All right, now let's move on, please, to crisp C.
I'm feeling confident on this.
Now, he's warming his fingers up, running them together. Up it goes. Ooh. Very confident. Ooh.
Now that's a...
keep it away from your nose.
That's an ambiguous crisp. It's a toss-up between the salt and vinegar and the cheese and onion. Salt and vinegar tends to be a bit more of a spiky feel, so I'm going to go cheese and onion on that one.
Okay.
Have fun. Can I take my crisp visor?
Please remove the crisp visor. Okay. Now this was... I don't know what I was expecting from this. And I imagine there are people in cars all around the country or in kitchens, maybe even kitchenettes, saying, why would I want to listen to a man feeding crisps? Well, put that out of your mind, you know. Be mindless. No, bring that drone back. Because I can tell you.
Crisp A,
you said, was the specialist crisp.
Mm.
It was.
Yes.
Specialist crisp.
What was the flavour?
It was a hot Mexican.
Ah, yes, I was kind of right.
Crisp B, you said, was a very generic, plain crisp.
Mm-hmm.
You were right. And crisp C, you know, you started off confident, and then you lost your nerve, but then you went for it, and it was a toss-up, wasn't it, between salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Yeah.
You, of course, plumped for cheese and onion.
I did, yeah.
Steve, I can tell you, crisp C...
I'm so nervous.
You want to change your answer?
No, I'm happy with cheese and onion.
It was cheese and onion. I don't know what just happened. But book me in, please, to Steve's house for Christmas.
I can't believe it.
Where you're only ever going to have fun.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
I wrote to Constantine today. I have hardly heard a word of her since I left dearest Billericay for the city. My heart bleeds, but my broadcast awaits. The need to broadcast alights me, but sometimes the pressure of being second banana on a commercial indie rock station's fourth most popular weekend radio show weighs heavy. I sit now by the fire, scouring the weekly news articles for something humorous. Something I can cast a sideways glance at. Nothing. Nothing anywhere. Has the world dried up, or, dare I say, is it I?
Mr. Wallace, might thee have time to mend a buckle for an old soak such as I?
As usual, I make all kinds of resolutions and fail to keep them. I'm feeling so wretched, so miserable. Why can I not mend a heart the way I mend a buckle for a drunk? We heard today something dreadful, something I cannot and will not believe. Oh, I pray it may not be true. It is enough to shake one's confidence in God, in heaven, in everything. Dear Stephen Ferdinando, 'Tis about him, but I cannot say what it is. I do not. I will not believe it. It makes me so wretched. Is there no good really in the world?
A parlour boy entered my studio just now as I was hunched over my bureau writing a dinner winner and said,
Master Ferdinando, it's late. Come for supper.
And so for supper I went, dragging a heavy heart behind me. Mrs. Munty's boiled mutton as usual. If for only I might have a mutton-free Monday. For this abhorrence I cannot write about. Oh, what am I to do?
A tale this Yule of life's young fool, whose ideas are said to have upped and fled. But will young Steve find his reprieve, or will this sinner ruin Christmas dinner winner?
This is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Well, I've got to tell you, I mean, this pack it in, the new crisp-based challenge, it's a flyer. So much praise pouring in. I mean, maybe it's just Christmas praise. Maybe people have been at Sherry already. But you must be delighted.
I am delighted. And I think people appreciate how hard it is to be able to do that.
Well, absolutely. So. It's a skill I never considered before. Dynamo, move over. He's got the golden touch, says another person. This is radio. Mike and Kerry, this is the testing claims of crisp detection via touch only is the most important radio we have ever listened to. So this is great. And a little shout out as well to the crazy guys at R&D Tax Credit Solutions. We had to call the sales staff in today for our end of quarter meeting. We've got the show on. It's making our day. And that's from Simon D, Aaron Attic, Doug, and Chris P. And I thought we could use Chris P, couldn't we?
Chris P.
We could use him in Pack It In. Or her. Come on, It's 2018. Let's play Christmas Dinner Winners. Now, this is where we normally, in minute detail, go through what we had for dinner all week. And Joe then judges who had the best dinners.
Yeah.
But with this being Christmas week, there's a very important meal coming up, isn't there?
We're not going to miss a trick.
We're not going to miss a trick, certainly not with Christmas dinner. So you have set the rules this week, Joe. What are they?
So I'll be looking for the categories, and I'll be asking you to compete on your categories. Yeah. Meat, potatoes, vegetables general, desserts, mm-hmm. beverages, and any other business.
Any other Christmas-based business that might make a Christmas dinner better. Are you ready, Steve?
I'm ready.
Let's play.
Meat.
Well, turkey may be traditional, but unless cooked by a top-class chef, you risk dry, tough meat. And remember also the very many crimes and persecutions of the president of Turkey. Really brings the experience down. Not so with perfectly roast chicken. Two plump and large, slow-grown Sutton Hoo chickens on order and raised in 40 acres of meadows just round the corner in the fresh air of an ethically run farm. Yeah, there'll be stuffing. Yeah, there'll be gravy. But no weird lemon and herb coating, no oddness at all, save for a smattering of rosemary picked from our own garden that very Christmas morning by our delightful, bright-eyed children.
I know what you're doing.
What you got?
Well, I go to my aunt's on Christmas Day in the charming, quaint parish of Ilford. And luckily, Christmas falls on a Tuesday, which means I can have all the meat I want. But like Danny, turkey's not for me. I go for a ham/gammon. Oh. Plus, on the side, a bit of stuffing, which I usually have too much of, which my mother prompts to call me greedy.
Oof. Well, there you go. It's the big ham in Ilford. Or delicious, ethically grown chicken homegrown rosemary.
At first, I wasn't excited by the prospect of chicken, but put that against just ham on its own.
But it's not like sandwich ham, like a gammon.
But, come on. So, Danny, you're taking the points Move on to
potatoes.
Well, of course, potatoes. And, of course, roasted this year in goose fat. To provide a fluffy central core while maintaining a crispy shell on the outside. To provide the best of both potato worlds. The goose fat provides what's known as a high smoking point, meaning the fat in the tin can become searingly hot before the parboiled potatoes are added, giving it not just that crispy shell I mentioned just moments ago, but also a deliciously rich flavour at the same time, and infinitely better than the powdered mash I'm assuming Steve will be having in Ilford.
Oh, dear.
Well, actually, Danny, sure, everyone can have a roast potato. You'd be a psychopath not to have one. Yeah. But what's that on the side? Ooh. Oh, it's a roasted sweet potato. Yeah. He's the rogue cop that doesn't play by the rules, but still gets the job done.
Wow.
Handful of roasted sweet potatoes is obviously going to win.
Well, that old phrase.
Do you know,
Hang on.
Like the sound of your traditional potatoes, Danny. Yeah. But what Steve is doing is taking Christmas dinner, taking it to a different place, and you know that that's looked upon favourably in Dinner Winner. Steve, you take the points for potatoes.
Let's move
on to
Vegetables General.
Yeah, I have to say, on that ruling, I think there is going to be controversial, and there will be texts. So vegetables, brackets general, close brackets. Organic British carrots, tender stem, broccoli. Pan-fried in olive oil to release extra flavour. Roasted onions, a couple of parsnips just because. Some buttered green beans, asparagus, why not? No sprouts, we're not insane. And all vegetables will be served in ceramic white French dishes with blue trim, despite Brexit, so that their colours really pop, because you eat with your eyes, don't you, before the muscles of the small intestine mix food with digestive juices from the pancreas, liver, and intestine.
All right.
Well, me and Joe had a little glance over the desk then when you said no sprouts, so let's see who takes the point. And obviously, vegetables are gross and nobody actually likes them, and we more just understand that we have to eat vegetables to stay healthy. Yeah, and what is the healthiest vegetable? It's obviously the Brussels sprout.
Is it?
And I don't need any of that other stuff as well to go with it. Just have some sprouts and maybe a few parsnips just to spice things up a bit.
Brussels sprout. You won't be able to have that after March 2019.
Even despite the lack of sprouts in your dinner, Steve's vegetables just sounded a bit like an afterthought.
Yeah.
So, Danny, you're going to take the points there. Let's move on to
dessert.
Well, this year we're doing the double D, the double dessert. Lengthening the Christmas lunch experience so that it stretches across an entire afternoon. Bramley apple pie with Mackay's Scottish vanilla ice cream, first of all, while we play board games with the children by a roaring fire. Before a brisk walk to a nearby area of outstanding natural beauty, made all the more outstandingly beautiful by the chill winter's air. Then back for, well, Christmas pud, a seasonal episode of University Challenge, and an argument.
Well, I don't need to double dessert like Wallace here. And I can just
all
one
this smack talking.
We need to bring more smack talk into this. Just one thing.
Yeah.
As a fine scholar of our time once bellowed out over the Bolton Arena, cheesecake.
Oh.
Danny.
Yeah?
I love cheesecake, and I'm a little bit disappointed in your cynical inclusion of a walk with dessert. You know that's not... What are you doing?
You're walking off the first dessert to earn the second.
Nonsense. Not dessert. Steve is taking the points there. Let's move on.
Beverages.
Crisp white New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc from the Marlborough region for the parents. A warming... grey wacky Pinot Noir for the grandparents, and Bailey's for the kids. That's a joke. That is a joke. Plus, I've been saving a light, sweet Irish whiskey blend with honeyed and fruited notes called Writer's Tears, which seems apt for my 2018, and which I will enjoy while compiling my annual Christmas enemies list and plotting the downfall of others.
Okay.
Well, I anticipated that Danny would go for a white wine. That being his wine of choice. Mm. But everyone knows that Christmas is about red wine, about Malbec that's been gifted to you from Matt Deverson, managing editor of Radio X.
Yeah, it's a free wine.
And cold Peroni.
Oh.
Hang on.
Ice cold Peroni.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's ice cold.
Well.
Do you think his auntie has a fridge in Ilford that is capable of ice cold?
A nice, refreshing lager, lovely.
Be one of those hot fridges.
Rich red wine. It's 3-2 to Steve as we move into our final round. Double points available. Whoever takes this takes it.
All right.
And it is...
Any other Christmas business?
Well, you forgot to ask about starters. My wife, a very cold woman, is holding the family to ransom. She insists on trying a soup she has never before attempted. Fresh sweet potato and butternut squash soup with a dash of cream. Fine. However... Christmas is not a time for experimentation. It's literally why we have traditions. To ensure safe passage through a dinner, which cannot be fraught with disappointment, and yet the harridan insists. Every day I tell her, this soup may be a disappointment. I wake her early every morning and shout in her face, your soup may disappoint. I soothe her to sleep each night by leaning in just as she drifts off and screaming, don't make bad soup. Yet, sweet potato persists and has taken hold of this once sweet woman. But I have a plan. What might sound like a very savoury soup can be saved. A couple of slices of red chilli on top will bring that dish right into the 90s.
Well, one word, guys, that will beat what he's talking about.
Any other Christmas business, Steve?
Pringles. Pringles everywhere.
Pringles everywhere? I was expecting...
Pringles.
I was expecting something a bit more seasonal than Pringles.
Pringles, at Christmas, they have snow on the tubes, and they have, like, Christmas-themed tubes.
Joe.
Christmas Pringles.
If a homemade soup is beaten by a tub of Pringles...
Yeah, people at home will be go, yeah, I'll have Pringles on Christmas. No,
no one
doubt.
Celebrates Christmas with Pringles.
Yes, they do.
Not even Kris Kringle.
Every house at home has got a tube of Pringles in it at Christmas.
We will find out who has won after Pale Waves one more time.
He's got to think about it.
Danny Wallace. Radio X.
Pale Waves, one more time on your important broadcast. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, who has won Christmas dinner winners? Sterling attempt from us both. I obviously went down a bit more of a traditional route this year. Steve, mainly enjoying a big bit of ham in Ilford. But who has won Christmas dinner winners? Who got the double points, Joe?
It is with pride that I announce that with 4-3... Danny Wallace.
Whoa!
You are the Christmas dinner winner champion.
How did I beat a big lump of ham and some Pringles?
Nonsense.
Well, the people have spoken. The people in this, you know, the only person that really counts right now is Joe, to be honest. We're going to play Christmas Tell Me Something I Don't Know. We'll look at the papers as well. But not before this.
This is Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Christmas Eve, 1978. A chill was building. Bitter easterly winds started to develop over Scotland as low pressure tried to move into central portions of the UK.
Where can you find 70s weather updates?
I got my ways, man. And remember, we are driving through the centre, right, towards Scotland. But how to get there? Well, to get from Abbey Road to the Town Hall in Middlesbrough, we don't know Chris's address, so we're using the Town Hall. You've got to get to the A1, so that's either M1 or M18. So it's a decision to make. So you either head north towards Finchley or south past White City and the West Way. What would you do psychologically? Remember, you're 25, you're impatient, it's cold. You've got to make your name, you know? You feel like time's running out. But you're also hot, you're in a very small car. You're feeling unnaturally lightheaded and sentimental.
I think... The thing is, I wouldn't choose the West Way on Christmas Eve. I think it would be a nightmare. But he does talk about traffic, so maybe it was that way.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. I'll give you my theories next.
Danny Wallace. Radio X.
Well, hello. It is Sunday. A couple days before Christmas. I've got to say, that drone story. The fact that the couple have been released. You just like, I was looking at them, the picture. I was going, why would they be accused of it? It's like a 47-year-old man and his 54-year-old wife. The police rush in and they go, we think you have spent 36 hours flying a drone around. You've got to have such... I mean, you've got to really want to do that.
Yeah, well, maybe he's just testing out his son's Christmas present and by mistake, accidentally flew it over Gatwick.
I mean, it takes a lot of, you know, they'd have been looking at it wasn't them, obviously, because they've been released without charge, but they'd have been looking at that and just thinking, what a bizarre thing to be accused of. And all the papers this morning, one of the main papers, the front page has a picture of them and the headline is something like, are these the Christmas morons? And there's like a picture of their house where they live. It's like one day it'll be funny for them, but not today.
Not today.
No, but they might make a few quid out of it. It'll be absolutely fine.
This is Radio Danny Wallace.
Well, look, you know you're going north, right? You're going to Middlesbrough.
Certain.
Middlesbrough.
So you've got the choice between heading north through London or going south through London, first of all, then the West Way. Psychologically, particularly if you've just been through what Chris Rea has been through with all the blotter jotters and the bean counters at the label, you're in a mini, for goodness sakes. You're uncomfortable. You just want to get home for Christmas.
Yeah.
So what would he have done next? Well, if you did go south to find the M1, you're looking at passing the Royal Air Force Museum outside Edgware. Then it's Watford, Brickett Wood, Potter's Crouch, Flamstead, Pepperstock, Slipend, Lower Sundon, Sundon, Upper Sundon, Brockborough.
Of course, yeah.
Leicester. Now, by this time, you might plan to stop at Donington Services, Junction 23A. If it's a Sunday, Burger King, Greg's, Cornish Pasty are all closed by 7:30. Maybe even earlier in the 70s, there would have been fewer choices. It was 70s food. Remember, last week, senior listener Murray suggested that Chris Rea might be a gastroenterologist based on misheard lyrics. And where better to study the effects of the intestines than a service station Greggs. Then it's Loughborough, Nottingham before hitting the A1 outside Doncaster and heading north to Middlesbrough. We all know that. But if Chris and Mrs. Chris were heading north and took the M25, as we've always, I think, instinctively assumed, then you would likely hit traffic on the Finchley Road, notorious. So could that be where the song takes place? Well, hold your horses. There are more likely possibilities.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
I've been looking at the papers, seeing what's going on.
Have you?
Obviously, obviously there was the drone, it's not a drone attack, is it? What would you call it? Just the bothersome drone.
The bothersome drone,
The bothersome drone.
Like when a pigeon falls down your chimney and you can't get it out of the lounge. It was just like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's how they described it on Newsnight. But I've been looking at the other stories. There's some sad news. Woman who claims to have wed a 300-year-old pirate ghost now says they've split up. This is a lady called Amanda Sparrow Large, 46. She first appeared in the spotlight when she legally married the Haitian ghost pirate this year. Now, he's 300 years old, so it was always against them, wasn't it? There was always an age gap.
Good pension, though.
Good pension. And the 46-year-old lady, she said she was tired of what she calls physical world men. tell me about it. And so consequently found love in the ghost of this 18th century pirate until she revealed things didn't work out. They got married on a boat off the Irish coast last year.
That's what he would have wanted.
That's what he would have wanted.
Who married them?
I think just a generic vicar.
A generic vicar trying to make a quick buck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Sure, I'll marry you.
Money-grabbing sea-based vicars. So anyway, she's told people, look, do be careful if you are going to marry, you know, a ghost. It's him I feel sorry for.
Yeah, just before Christmas.
Just before Christmas. And he's had no say in it. It seems to just be all her.
Yeah.
Just making decisions for both of them. Anyway, she previously claimed that her and the 300-year-old Jack used to go on lovely dates. I don't know where you take a ghost on a date.
Yeah, I don't know, the beach.
Why the beach?
Because they're sea-dwelling, aren't they, pirates?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a busman's holiday. You don't want to do that.
I can't believe that people are out there marrying ghosts and I can't even get a match on Tinder.
Oh, that felt like a little subtle way of saying I'm single, ladies.
Yeah.
I think you just go to the pub with the pirate.
Just go to, yeah.
Pint for the pirate. I'm into spirits.
Am I right?
Oh, am I right? And over in America, there was a poacher called David Berry. So this is what he's been up to recently. He was poaching deer, and he wasn't allowed to. Right. Very bad.
Rightly so.
And he got caught, and the judge said, you're going to be locked up. But as part of your sentence, do you know what he has to do?
No.
The judge is forcing him, by law, to, while in jail, watch Bambi repeatedly.
That's not true.
It is true. It's absolutely true. He's convicted in southwest Missouri. He's got 120 days in jail. And each month he's marched to a room where he has to watch Bambi. It'll teach him empathy.
I didn't know that you could sentence people to odd things like that.
Oh, yeah, you can sentence whatever you like.
Is that what, yeah, when you're a judge, you can just do whatever you want?
You can do whatever you want, and if you're a vicar, you can marry a lady to a ghost pirate. These are the rules of Britain, and they always have been. Let's get some music. Let's have some Sam Fender, that sound. Still to come on your important broadcast, we'll do a Christmas edition of Tell Me Something I Don't Know. Maybe a couple more stories in the newspapers as well. There's some odd stuff going on out there.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So we're going to do Tell Me Something I Don't Know, a Christmas edition. It's very important to pay attention, to fall silent. If you are with a listening partner, just stare them in the eye as these information nuggets get into your ear holes, because you can use these over Christmas dinner, over the Christmas weekend, over Boxing Day when you're having a little walk maybe.
Maybe on the 27th when you're still at home but you don't know what to talk to your family about anymore.
Or maybe on the 28th if you pop down to like a local butcher's and there's some stilted conversation.
Yeah, whilst you're waiting for them to carve up leftover meat for your bubble and squeak.
Sure. What we're saying is these facts can be used on any day. So let's play Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
Radio X.
Tell me something I don't know.
So we've each brought two facts with us. Two Christmassy facts, I hope. And then we'll go around the table and impress each other. It's a game of honesty. So who should we start with? Why not you, Joe?
No, I started last week and my microphone's not switched on, so I couldn't possibly.
Okay. I think you should start, Danny, as it's Christmas.
Well, that's so lovely of you guys.
Since it's Christmas.
Are you sure, though?
It would be my pleasure.
Okay, here's my fact, my first one. Now, we know the French gave the ungrateful Americans the Statue of Liberty. We know that. But did you know it happened on Christmas Day in 1886? Now, it weighs 225 tons. Thus, you could consider the Statue of Liberty the biggest Christmas gift ever given.
Ooh.
Did it arrive on Christmas Day or was it erected upon Christmas Day?
It was given on Christmas Day.
Okay.
So that's when they sent the telegram saying, oh, by the way,
I wasn't there. I don't know the specifics, but Christmas Day.
Sounds like an afterthought when you forget to give someone a Christmas present. And you're like, oh, God, we've got to give America something. What's that big statue we've got out back? Give them that.
You just give them that thing.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Great stuff. Joe.
2 points for you. Well
done.
Thank you. Did you know that the first song ever sung in space was in 1965? And it was Jingle Bells.
Really?
Really.
Wow, I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
Pewter bonus ball. Can I play a pewter bonus ball?
Traditionally not on someone else's fact, but I'll allow it as it's Christmas.
Thank you. A little fact to do with space and Jingle Bells. Mm. If a NASA astronaut sees something unidentified but doesn't want to panic everybody, the code word is Santa Claus, Santa Claus. So if they see a UFO... they go, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, and that means, everyone pay attention, there's something weird going down.
I didn't know that.
Thank you.
There you go. Pewter bonus ball for you.
Stephen.
My facts are about Rudolph.
Okay, of course they are, yeah.
Assuming that Rudolph was in front, as the song goes, yeah. And the
you know, this is a fact-based thing, so starting anything with assuming.
Yeah, you mustn't assume.
No, well, apparently there are 40,320 different ways to arrange the reindeers.
So if Rudolph's at the front and then there's Dasher and Prancer and all those other clowns...
There's 40,000 ways to rearrange them.
Right.
How about that?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. How could I possibly have known that?
That's maths, isn't it?
Okay, my second and final fact. It is tradition, or a tradition, in Japan for the whole family to spend Christmas Eve in a KFC.
Oh,
no.
KFCs do 10 times the amount of business they normally do on Christmas Eve, and families have to book 2 months in advance in order to get a table. The Christmas party packages account for a third of their entire yearly profits in Japan. Turns out they're chicken bonkers.
But traditions are, like, traditionally long held. How long has KFC existed for?
Well, the Colonel's pretty old.
I didn't know that. There you go, 2 points. Did you know that in Indiana, in the USA, there's a town called Santa Claus?
Oh.
No, I did not know that.
There you go.
Wow, there is actually a town in America, pewter bonus ball.
can't play two in the same game. This one might count.
Where they just celebrate Christmas all year round.
Really?
Yeah.
How nauseating.
It sounds appalling. Stephen.
Well, my fact is Norwegian scientists have hypothesised that Rudolph's...
Again, hypothesised.
His red nose is probably the result of a parasitic infection of his respiratory system.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the only way a reindeer could have a red nose.
Is that correct? But Rudolph does, of course, because that's how that works.
Yeah, well, that's the only way.
And that's why we know that he's at the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's probably the illest.
Well, he's leading the way as well. It's almost like a flashlight.
Yeah, well, there you go.
These things happen. Well, thank you very much. That was, I feel much more educated than I did a few moments ago, Joe.
Lots of facts.
Lots of facts that you can use around the Christmas table.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So Chris Rea is driving home for Christmas. He could have gone south. We think he's probably heading north through London.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's not like he's needing to get home to his wife. Because she's driving. So if they did do that, and I think the smart money's on that, they'd have gone past Datchworth, Gravely, Letchworth, Baldock, Stotfold, Biggleswade, St. Neots, Stilton, Coddington, Blythe, and Tick Hill. Possibly there'd have been traffic around Wellingarden City, so at some point traffic would have slowed and you would have written a song about it, particularly if the air that was passing over your engine was being pumped into the main body of the cabin, as in the 78 Mini, as we've established.
Yeah.
The Beatles had LSD, maybe Chris Rea had carbon monoxide. So that's the route where the smart money is, and I know what you're thinking. It's shorter by 7 miles, but longer by 2 minutes. But both journeys would have taken around 4 hours, 41 minutes, if you left at around 7 p.m., of course, and drove at legal limits, which Chris's wife would have done. How am I sure of the timings? I'll let you know after this.
Oh, God.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
The clerk, Mr. Attiwell of Dean Street, confirmed the worst. Stephen Ferdinando is barren. Bereft of new ideas, he sits idle and alone with what paltry thoughts he can muster. I can scarcely face the journey to Leicester Square for my broadcast. The idea of young Ferdinando, so empty a vessel, casting a gloom over my mood. Lottie tried to cheer me with a plate of beef and bread. "Leave me, Lottie!" I barked. "I must rest before my broadcast."
Your buckle, sir.
I cannot pay thee save for in advice.
'Tis fine, sir. 'Tis Christmas. Take your buckle and enjoy the comforts of a family still full of ideas.
But I can pay you in advice.
'Tis fine, sir.
This is good advice.
Honestly, I don't need your advice. You're an old drunk with a broken buckle.
But this is fine advice. Useful advice. Relevant to what you were just thinking about.
No, thank you.
If only someone would advise me. Some words of Christmas wisdom that might come to me through another.
Honestly, you'll want to hear this.
Yeah, just take the buckle and leave, old man.
A brunch of piri-piri chicken, Pepsi and sweetened corn did nothing to lift my soul. What am I to tell Danny? That his sweet prince has nothing left to give? Oh, what would poor Constantine make of me now?
Can I just interrupt?
What sorcery is this?
I was just trying to tell the other guy, but he was having none of it.
Who are you, old man, that might invade my thoughts in this way? Why are your trousers round thine ankles?
My buckle's broken again. Still, you get what you pay for.
Curse and confound you. What is it you want, old man?
When all else fails, in life's travails, your evening meal can seal the deal. Ignore new ideas, abandon your fears. Just pretend you did Ito a giant burrito.
That's it. I can still win Christmas dinner winners. Joseph looks kindly upon those who feast from yet undiscovered lands. Quickly, to Mexico! I don't have to go all the way by horse, do I? Oh, bloody hell.
This
is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Now, studio engineers, such as those who would have been employed in the late 70s in Abbey Road Studios, they tend to work an eight-hour day, finishing around six. It's a steady job, but it's that. It's a job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Christmas Eve, a good SE or SM, they would have seen the job out, but they would have been very keen to leave at six on the dot.
Sure. Yeah.
So we need to use that as a base. With time for post-work chit-chat, allowing for a toilet break, a meal before the journey, and a quick walk to find the mini, these timings work for Chris Rea if he's leaving Abbey Road at around seven. Even if he didn't park at the studio or on the street outside, the local municipal car park, built in the 60s, is in St John's Wood. I've looked it up. That's 604 yards from the studio, 552 metres, or a third of a mile. So we know the average speed a human walks is 4 miles per hour. So we're talking, what, a five-minute walk?
Yeah, not far.
Yeah, it works. So what was he so keen to get home for? You know, Chris had no kids at the time. We've established he's already with his wife. Well, I think I've worked it out, and I'll tell you that next.
This
is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
I've been mentioning this mug, Steve. This mug, this one-off mug. Now, on this mug, a certain word is misspelled. It's a word that people have difficulty with. The word is fetal.
Well, often it isn't inscribed on mugs, is it, fetal?
It's not often a word you see on mugs. Maybe in a fetal unit.
The best to the best,
the old
fetal
F-U.
Unit.
Yeah. So that is today's password. Okay. So you have to email this password to danny@radiox.co.uk. The word fetal. Okay. It's the position that you adopt when listening to the broadcast, obviously. But you must spell it incorrectly.
In any particular way?
No.
Or just generally incorrectly?
Incorrectly. As okay. a nod to society's troubles with that word.
Okay.
But it must be recognisable as the word still.
Oh, it must, Steve. It really must. And you email that to danny@radiox.co.uk. Now, that obviously means that we're going to get lots and lots of emails with the word fetal misspelled. Mm. So, I have written down in front of me a day and a time. It could be... give me an example of a day and a time.
It could, for example, be the Wednesday at 1:30 p.m.
That is absolutely correct. Give me another time, Steve.
Oh, Friday at midnight.
Yeah, well...
not as good.
Not as good, is it? It's confusing. It's
well, what would you like it to be?
Because if it's midnight, then it's almost Saturday. We're getting into very dodgy territory.
Yeah, you're right.
It could be any of those times. Anyway, I've written down a day and a time, and whichever of your emails arrives closest to that exact time wins the mug.
So we're not going to tell them when that day and
no,
time
no,
is.
No. It's like a lottery. So, but it could be any time, couldn't it? But
could
so
be.
It just means you've got as much chance as anyone else of winning it, no matter when you have listened. But obviously, if you listened early in the week, it's easier.
Do you have that date and time written down now?
Yeah.
Can you show it to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good date and time.
Yeah, it's
good
a strong
time,
date and time.
Yeah.
So obviously, this will go until, it's just until next Sunday.
Okay, so they're just going to feel it in their guts,
yeah.
I guess, when it's time
yeah,
to...
Yeah, yeah, they'll be sitting around... They'll have it in their drafts.
Yeah.
And they'll feel suddenly, it's now.
Compelled to just fire it off.
Yeah, because at that date and time, I'll be sending out one of my vibes.
Oh, I see. Well, that's going to make it easy.
Yeah.
People will just know immediately to do it.
Well, exactly, but they've still got to get to their phone or their sure. laptop or computer or whatever, and it's all about the seconds.
Yeah, I get it.
So, you know, expect an influx at, I'll hold it up again, at that
day
and time.
Be ready. That it's then.
When you send out a vibe as well, often it just sounds like screaming in my head.
Yeah.
It's very hard to ignore.
Yeah, well, it is a scream.
Yeah.
It is a scream.
You need to remember that a vibe doesn't actually mean screaming.
Well, yeah, you get professional vibe artists who are supposed to create a sense of fun. I go the opposite way.
Yeah.
Because there's so many professional vibers. Mm. Creating a nice environment for people, that there's a gap in the market for being unsettled, and that's where the screaming comes in.
Well, that would figure.
And so, I don't want to sound like a sycophant, but you are the best in the biz at that.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I could take that two ways.
You can. I hope you take it both ways.
Yeah. We'll move on. As I say, you could win that mug. We'll reveal all in the new year.
Danny Wallace,
Radio X.
Sundara Karma, One Last Night on This Earth. What'd you do with One Last Night on This Earth?
I'd listen to that song again.
Would you?
What a tune.
You love it?
I love that tune. It sounds like The Cure, sounds like Modest Mouse. Oh, I'd listen to it 100 times,
but
and then the world would end.
Yeah, but you'd just be doing that. You wouldn't be doing anything else.
Because
you could listen to it and do other things. You could phone relatives.
Nope, just listen to that tune loud. Listen to it loud. Okay. Not even on headphones.
Very nice. Well, look, Christmas is nearly upon us, Steve. What are your first plans? You're going to Ilford?
Go to Ilford.
Get that ham out of the fridge, the hot fridge.
Get a sandwich ham out of the hot fridge, have it with a glass of wine, and then go.
Jobs are good.
Jobs are good.
That's Christmas in a nutshell. You'll be working down the farm.
Of course, yes.
Mucking out.
As we've established so many times before.
Exactly. We're back, though, New Year's Day, from 10 o'clock in the morning with, a start to the year. We'll be looking ahead, won't we, at what we can expect from 2019.
That's what you do in the new year.
That's what we do. It seems to be some kind of law. And later on, in just a few hours' time, in fact, the podcast will be up where you can work out how you can win the only mug we own and are giving away for free.
Yes, got to listen to the podcast.
Got to listen to the podcast, yeah. And there is a spelling error. On the mug.
Oh, it wasn't me that wrote it, was it?
No, but that may be part of the competition.
Oh, yes.
Maybe.
It's very clever.
Maybe like when a pound coin has a misprint on it and it's worth more money.
Exactly. It's the same with mugs. Always has been, always will be.
It's what will make it more individual, isn't it?
Isn't it just
once we get that corrected and then really start pumping them out, we'll have sorted out. But the original, that will always be original.
The bad prototype. Talking of bad prototypes, here is a quiz. And we're trying it for the first time. It is a spin on yay or nay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. So, Steve, Ordinarily, I read you a list of horses' names that I get out of the paper, mixed in with horses' names that I've made up. Mm. I ask you to say yay or nay. But obviously, with Rudolf the reindeer being the most famous and having this celebrated song, the other reindeers have always been a little bit jealous. And I've looked it up. Apparently, there are 27 other reindeers who feature in songs of their own, with people trying very hard to replicate the success of Rudolf the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So let me know, yay or nay, are these real reindeer? Shadrach, the black reindeer.
Yay.
It's a yay. It was a Loretta Lynn song. Didn't do as well as Rudolf. Simon, the simple reindeer.
I want to say yay.
It's a nay, I'm afraid. No, I just made that up. Leroy, the redneck reindeer.
Nay.
It's a yay.
No, it's not.
Joe Diffie released that one. Not as popular as Rudolf the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Marvin the reindeer.
Marvin, yay.
It's a yay.
Yes.
1965, Ray Stevens. Not as popular as Rudolf the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Rumpelstiltz, the German reindeer.
Yay.
It's a nay.
Oh.
Lambo, the warrior lamb reindeer crossover.
That's a nay.
It's a nay.
Yes.
And finally, Bruce.
Yay.
It is a yay. Yes. Bruce the reindeer, though, not as popular as Rudolf the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Not as popular.
Not as popular.
Well, listen, I hope we've all learnt a little bit about ourselves, about each other, about the world. In all likelihood, no. What you'll mainly take from this broadcast was the fact that Steve Ferdinando made a bold claim about being able to differentiate the different flavours of crisps by touch alone. And we were as amazed as you were when it turned out that was the case. So that's a little Christmas present to you. Have a brilliant, brilliant Christmas season. Christmas season? What am I? Am I American?
Christmas season. Happy seasoning.
I will say, Joe insisted that this go in. This is his favourite band, so this is Joe's Christmas present to himself and to you. The Darkness, Christmas Time. We love you, everyone. Have fun.
Danny Wallace.
This is Radio
X. Well, Christmas Day 78 was a Wednesday. If you'd left London at 7, then with no further rest stops, and the song doesn't mention any, you'd be home halfway through Bing Crosby on BBC One. But on BBC Two, you'd have just missed The Magic Flute of James Galway, which was just half an hour of a man playing a flute. Now, Chris Rea was driving to County Durham, but why was he in a hurry, given again his wife was right next to him and he was then childless? Perhaps an elderly parent to see? No. Chris was only 25. In 78, his father, Camillo Rio, a local ice cream magnate, he'd have been 53. And he understood that his son was making his own way in the world. You know, he'd have been quite, I think, sensitive to that. I think the reason was more mundane. Arriving home after 11, Chris wouldn't have had plans to meet friends, but County Durham is served by ITV Yorkshire. And according to the listings I found for Christmas Eve 78, Chris Rea was likely driving home for Christmas in order to see either part two of the film Charade, which IMDb describes the plot as a husband and wife discuss three incidents that occurred in various situations. Doesn't sound great. Or Parkinson at the Pantomime with special guest Arthur Askey.
Oh, no, that's obviously what he wants
that's
to watch.
Yeah, because the smart money is obviously on the latter. Charade began at 9.15 with a break for the news, finished at 11.30. So Parky it is, especially because Parky is a fellow Yorkshireman born in Cudworth in 1935. Cudworth, only 80 miles from Middlesbrough. Might think that's a, you know, big distance, but the Yorkshire folk are tight-knit.
Also, Chris wants to make it in showbiz, so he'd probably have an interest in that kind of world.
I think you're absolutely right. So I think, finally, we know why Chris Rea was driving home for Christmas, including starting point, likely route, likely duration, travel companion, and purpose. And finally, I think it's okay to stop talking about it.
Oh, no. Thank God for that.
Wow.
Danny Wallace.
This is Radio X.
Well, there you go. That was your Christmas podcast from the Important Broadcast. Joe, your favourite 11 moments?
Well, the inclusion of a secret password.
Yep.
I also liked the potatoes section of Christmas dinner winner.
I think the potato section was particularly strong.
Yeah.
That's two.
I also very much
Steve's
enjoyed
loving this because I normally do it to him.
The opener was great.
Lovely. Touching, wasn't it?
Really touching, I felt.
And reflective. I think a lot of people would just think these skits are just things I write the night before and then come in.
Yeah. No,
but
no,
actually, no, it's a lot of reflection in there as well. Chance to explore your own feelings.
Yes. I also enjoyed the little Christmas surprises that were in there. The little playlets.
Yes, little playlets. Yes, little playlets.
Yes, that's four.
I enjoyed the opportunity to really explore my vocal range.
Five, go on.
In those,
speed this up, please.
I enjoyed.
Quickly, what did you like?
All of the facts and tell me something I don't know.
What did you enjoy? Is seven?
Because there was
stop
six
upsetting
facts.
Him. Stop upsetting me!
Six
stop it,
facts
Joe.
In there,
he's
so that's,
upsetting
that's
me.
Six.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas, Joe.
I think that probably covers it because that's six facts and tell me something I don't know. I liked each of them individually.
Fine, Danny, sit down, Danny.
There weren't 11 things that Joe liked about the show.
Wow.
Steve, show him how it's done. Give me 15 things. Don't do that. You know, it's the end of the year. We hope you have a wonderful end of year. We hope you have a brilliant, brilliant Christmas. We'd like to thank you for all your contributions and for listening throughout this year. It means a lot to us.
As you wind up, don't forget that there are a couple more podcasts. There's certainly one more this year. There'll be one next Sunday.
Certainly.
And then there will be a bonus podcast for the New Year's Day show.
Exactly. Whether you like it or not, you can spend New Year's Day with us in podcast form.
I won't, but but the listeners can.
Happy Christmas, everybody. Get into the music. Bye-bye. Radio X.